You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidiebere Nwokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly, a man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
Praise the Lord. You know, growing up as a child, in my secondary school days, at Government College Omoaye, our principal would tell us there is no provision for rainy days. So rain will never be an excuse not to come to class or to come late. You say in your prospectus, there is a place for raincoats, for umbrella, and rain boots. So you cannot use rain as an excuse not to do what you ought to do. Praise the Lord. In this kingdom work, come rain, come shine, we will serve our God. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everybody to church this morning. Everybody here is a special guest. You're welcome. And may the Almighty God bless you abundantly. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to look at something that I think from next year, we're going to celebrate it in a special way. And this morning, I'll be talking about the Palm Sunday. I think it's an important ceremony in Christendom that I think we should celebrate, and we should be able to pass it down to our children. Sometimes some of these things, we'll stop celebrating them and they are being replaced with egg for Easter. Praise God, yes, because we refuse to celebrate some of these things. At least let the children understand what it's all about. And the enemy is bringing in his own thing. Praise the Lord. Palm Sunday is very symbolic in the life of a Christian. I'll tell you why. Today, being Palm Sunday as celebrated worldwide, is the beginning of what we call the Holy Week. The week of his passion. This is the week that Jesus Christ triumphantly entered Jerusalem. His face was set. He knew he was going to die, and he was determined to go to Jerusalem to pay the ultimate price. And his going to Jerusalem has a lot of symbolic, or it symbolizes a lot of things that we're going to point out at the end of the day. And that also tells us why we should celebrate this. Praise the Lord. The key text we're going to take today is from Matthew 21. I'll read from 1 to 11. Even though this story is mentioned in Matthew, in Luke, and in John. But when you put it together, three of them together, you get a better picture of what happened. Matthew 21, 1 to 11. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem, and we are come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, he shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and have followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Praise the Lord. I want to also read this from Luke 19, 28 to 44. Just follow me. I want you to get a better picture of this. Luke 19, 28 to 44. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending unto Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entrance ye shall find a cot tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man asks you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord had need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the cord, the owner thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the cord? And they said, The Lord had need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the cord, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their cloth in the way. And when he was come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Praise the Lord. You know, Palm Sunday, like I said, is called the Holy Week, the week before the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the week before we celebrate Easter. Praise the Lord. And it's called the last week of Jesus Christ's life, or the week of his what? Passion. You know, as I was reflecting on Palm Sunday, I realized that Jesus Christ going to Jerusalem at that time was very deliberate, and it was very symbolic. He was going to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of what? Passover. And what is this feast of Passover? I'm going to take us back to the Old Testament so that you understand. When you hear about Palm Sunday, you know what it's all about. Praise the Lord. You know, Israel has been in Egypt for 430 something years. Praise the Lord. In bondage. And at the time of their visitation, at the time that God has appointed for them to leave Egypt, Pharaoh and his generals refused to let them go. They were in bondage. Praise the Lord. And God determined that his children must be set free. He has sent the plagues to them, and yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Praise the Lord. You see, as I tell you about the Passover feast, I'm going to compare it with the with the palm or the Holy Week. Praise the Lord. Pharaoh was determined to keep them in captivity. And then God said, I am going to kill all the firstborns of Egypt to set my children free. Praise the Lord. So he told them what to do. Let's go to Exodus 12, 1 to 17. Exodus 12, 1 to 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for an house. I want you to underline lamb. Praise the Lord. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor nest unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Underline this also. A male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. This is the 14th day, right? Praise the Lord. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and on living bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the partners thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with what? Fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall be upon the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Praise the Lord. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. Remember, we call it the Holy Week, right? A holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. So if you go to Israel now, the Jewish people are celebrating the Passover feast. The Christians are celebrating the Holy Week. Now, what you see here is that the celebration is to mark the deliverance, praise the Lord, from the bondage in Egypt. The celebration of the Holy Week, or as Palm Sunday signifies today, is to celebrate the deliverance of the sinners from the hand of what? The wicked one. In the celebration of the Passover feast, praise the Lord, a lamb was slaughtered, praise the Lord, to celebrate this. And the blood was put on the doorpost so that when the angel of death comes, he will pass over them to deliver them. In the Holy Week, the Palm Week or the Passion Week, praise the Lord, we are celebrating the Lamb of God, who paid the ultimate price at the cross of Calvary to deliver mankind from the clutches of Satan and of sin. And he shed his blood, that when you plead the blood of Jesus Christ, the angel of death will pass over you. You now understand why it is important that we celebrate this week. Praise the Lord. So, what are the learning points from the Palm Sunday? What are we taking away from this? First thing I see here is about the court. He said, go over to the city. You see a court that is tied. Praise the Lord. He said, lose him. Lose him. Is a different sermon, and I've preached this powerfully and at the crusade, and God moved. He said, lose him. The first point we learn here is that cord, that ass, was created for that purpose. And Jesus Christ, like I said, deliberately was going to Jerusalem at the Passover feast, because he wanted to bring the fulfillment of the Passover, because he, Jesus Christ, is the Passover what? Lamb. The lamb that they killed in Egypt, praise the Lord, was a symbol or a type of Christ. Praise the Lord. So this cord was created. One of my friends says, you see, Jesus was going to Jerusalem and he rode on a brand new cord that nobody has taken. He said, a brand new car. You know, what I love about Christianity is that when you want to preach anything, you can always find something to back it up. So the person wanted to say that, look, man of God, as a child of God, I cannot enter a second-hand car. God will bless me a brand new car. I said, why? He said, because when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, why didn't they bring a car that has been used before? He said, no man had rode on it. He was created for that purpose. Praise the Lord. He said, lose him. And what I learned here is that Jesus, because if you read the three Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, on this story, prior to this, Jesus Christ has raised Lazarus from the dead. And you need to know the symbolic of Lazarus being raised. You know, I was talking to my wife, like I said, why did Jesus allow Lazarus to be dead 4 days while he himself was 3 days in the grave? Why they are lying 4 days? And as I started studying, the Hebrews, the Jews, believe that if a man dies, praise the Lord, that his spirit will be hovering around for at least 3 days. On the fourth day, his body will start smelling and decaying. Then the spirit leaves the body permanently. So raising Lazarus was to prove to them that, look, because if you had raised him after a day or two, they will say, maybe the spirit was still around, so that's why he had to enter. But at this point, the body was already decaying and the spirit had gone by their own meat. And Jesus Christ came and brought him back. By that singular miracle, those of them who didn't believe, Bible says at that point, a lot of people started to follow what? Jesus. They said, no, we have not seen anybody that died and started smelling. Praise the Lord, that was brought back to life. So a multitude followed him. And at this moment, he has chosen to go to Jerusalem. It's a long story. He had to, at some point, they wanted to kill him or even kill Lazarus. He had to move to another city and later on came in to move to Jerusalem. And this court was waiting because he had a destiny to fulfill. And I prophesy to the life of somebody here. You are created for a purpose. And the purpose why God created you, you will fulfill it in the name of Jesus. Anything that is holding you down, anything that is holding you back from fulfilling your purpose, I say, let that thing be removed right now. You are loose from it in the name of Jesus. This cord, its purpose of creation was to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. And that is symbolic. He says that Christ is saying, you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You are the apple of my eyes. I have created you for a purpose. But some people are still tied in one place, not fulfilling their destiny. And he said, loose him for the master's use. And I prophesy again this morning that the purpose for which God created you to play your role in the kingdom, that you will fulfill it in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another thing that we learn from this, the second learning point, is it confirms Jesus as the King of Israel and of course King of all. Praise the Lord. Can we go to Zechariah 9? 9 to 11. Zechariah 9. 9 to 10. Zechariah 9. 9 to 10. He said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the horses from Jerusalem, and the battle pole shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. You see, Jesus Christ riding on the colt was to fulfill this prophecy. And from here, he made it clear that he's coming into Jerusalem as a king. And that was why when the Pharisees, saw them hailing him as king, they said, stop your disciples. Can't you see? If you say you're a king, that means we're going to have head-on collusion with the Romans. And this will cause problem for us. He said, I can't stop them. That if you stop them, even the stones will cry out. Praise the Lord. That the stones will cry out. This shows that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And he entered Jerusalem as a king. And what amazes me is that he knew that he was going to die. In those days, people die to protect their king, right? But here, the king was going to the cross to die. To do what? Save his people. So he was a different kind of king. And you need to understand this. Praise the Lord. Another thing that we learn from the Palm Sunday is that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. See, entering into the city on a donkey symbolizes arrival in peace, rather than a war-waging king arriving on horseback. The way the world is, if a king is coming in those days, he rides what? On horses. Horses show strength. Praise the Lord. Horses show power. But when you ride on a donkey, it symbolizes, according to the Hebrews, peace. And it shows that he's a different kind of king. Prior to this, the Jews had expected deliverance from the hands of the Romans. So they were expecting a king who would come and deliver them from the hands of what? Of the Romans. So when they saw Jesus Christ raise Lazarus after 4 days, even the doubting Thomas believed that this is the king. So even if the Romans killed him, he can speak the word and everybody will come back alive. Imagine going to a battle. Some of you watch zombie movies. Imagine going to a battle where they will shoot the person, boom, 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 the person dies. Suddenly you just do like this and come up again. So they were so convinced that this is the king that will deliver them from the hands of the Romans. Bible scholars, I don't know whether it's true, as recorded by Marcus Borg and John Dennis, said in the year 30 AD, that as Jesus Christ was entering Jerusalem from the eastern gate as a king and as a prince of peace, Pontius Pilate was entering from the western gate as a governor of Judea. What they do? What the Romans used to do in those days was that during the celebration of the feast of Passover, they believed that is when all the Jews would gather in one place. And sometimes that is when some of them foment trouble. So what they do, as they are arriving for the feast, the Roman governor with his army, his entourage, will march into the city of Jerusalem. The Bible scholar said the parade ground was opposite the temple. So they stayed there to have an eye on what they were doing. So as Pontius Pilate was coming, riding on horseback as a conquering king, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was entering from the eastern gate, riding a donkey, symbolizing peace. So the people actually believed that his coming, he was going to deliver them and bring peace. But they have a different perception to this. Praise the Lord. The next point that we learn from this is that Jesus Christ triumphed and had victory. That is why the Palm Sunday is described as the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Why is it called the triumphant entry? Why? You know, the palm, you know, when they put their cloth on the cloth, they cut the palms and put for him to do what? Ride on. Praise the Lord. The palm in the old Aramaic or Hebrew was a symbol of triumph and victory. So to spread something on the ground for somebody is done for those who are very important, and is a way to honor them. And this is really done when people have gone to battle and won victory. I don't know if you're connecting with me. When generals have gone to battle and defeated their enemies, as they return, the people line up the streets, remove their clothes and spread for them, put palms for them to ride on. It's a kind of strange honor that you have gotten what? Victory. But Jesus Christ had victory already, even as he was going to the cross. And that is why you and I, as believers, I said the believer is an unusual creature. We're in a battle where victory has been won for us already. What we are saying today is just to show up at the battlefront. Praise the Lord. So he was going as a king who has won his battle, a triumphant entry. Praise the Lord. And even this, you can see this, Revelation 7, 9 to 10. So you know the importance of the palm. He says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Praise the Lord. So this the palms symbolizes final victory that he will have over death. Because man thought death was the ultimate. Praise the Lord. But he was coming triumphantly right into Jerusalem to go and do what? Destroy death. To take death captive. Praise the Lord. And that is why in 1 Corinthians 15:55 he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is their victory? Because Jesus Christ has done what? He has won victory for us. So going to the cross, he was ending triumphantly. Because he was already what? Victorious. Praise the Lord. Then the fifth learning point, they shouted, Hosanna. Hosanna. What is Hosanna? The learning point here is that Jesus Christ was entering Jerusalem as a savior of mankind. And let me explain. Matthew 21:9 says, and the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Praise the Lord. Hosanna in the Hebrew word means God saves or God helps now. Praise the Lord. So they sent Jesus to save them from the Romans, but he's the savior of the world. So when they were shouting Hosanna, they were already celebrating deliverance from the what? The hands of the Romans. Hosanna in the highest. The Savior in the highest has come. Our salvation what? Has come. And truly, yes, they have been prophetic. Because Jesus Christ's death brought salvation to you and I. Hosanna in the highest. The Savior has come. We're going to be saved by him. We are saved by him. They were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Matthew 1:21. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise the Lord. Hosanna. Romans 10:9-13. I'm going to tie all this up. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Acts 4:10-12. It says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only name that can save you is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Other religions have their own names, but their names don't save. Rather, their names kill. Praise the Lord. Some people, if you call the name of their own God, they will come after you to kill you. But our own Lord, Jesus Christ, said, when you call upon him, what happens? You are saved. So when they shouted Hosanna, they were declaring that this is the Savior. So this week is so important in Christendom that I strongly believe that it should be celebrated. Because as he rode into Jerusalem, there were several, you know, symbolism in his riding into Jerusalem that should not be taken for granted, even in Christendom. Praise the Lord. Another thing I learned from the triumphant entry into Jerusalem is that we are all created, that's the sixth learning point, we are all created to worship God. We are created to worship God. Luke 19:39-40. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if this should hold their peace, the stones will immediately cry out. Wow! I've always known about it, but I've not spent time to study it. But last night I looked at it from a different perspective. They were offering worship to the King of Kings, to the Savior. And Satan was upset. You know, sometimes when the Pharisees talk, you know who he's talking. He said, why are you trying to take worship to yourself? He said, don't you know who I am? I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the Almighty. I am the Savior. He said, if they will not worship me, even the stones will cry out. Wow. The stones will cry. I mean, you know, as I reflect, I said, the elements worship God. When you see the trees, you know, waving their hands, blowing, what are they doing? They're worshiping. Even the stones. That means the stones worship. And that tells me that you and I, that the day we refuse to give God the worship that is due to him, the stone will take the person's place. He said, if they refuse to offer me worship, he said, the stones will do what? They will cry out and worship me. And my question today is, will the stone take your place? God forbid. How can stone take my place? This is so powerful. And that means each and every one of us will have to examine our lives. Are we really serving the Almighty God? Are we really giving him true worship? And if we are giving him true worship, how, what is the relationship like? Because the Bible says, if you refuse to worship him, I don't know, maybe you are here, you are not born again. You are not serving the Almighty God, but you are in church. It shows you even you know what to do. But something is hindering you. You are not born again. Are you expecting the stone to take your place? God forbid. So he said, if they will not worship me, the stones will do what? Cry out. There are several things, symbolism is entering Jerusalem. Several things that will take you from this. If you refuse to worship the Almighty God, he says, I will always receive. You see what I see there is that, look, you're worshiping me, I am doing you the favor. Because I want to bless you. He said, look, if you don't worship me, even the stones are already worshiping. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, stones will never, ever take my place. Praise the Lord. And the seventh learning point is, Bible says he wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem because they missed their time of what? Visitation. You know, he was coming as a prince of peace to bring peace to the city. If you read the Bible, Jesus never spent a night in Jerusalem. Check your Bible. Even after the triumphal entry, that night he left and went back to Bethany. Because they rejected him. He said the city. Because as he was entering, some people were welcoming him, but most of the people that ought to know, we are busy, lined up for what? Pontius Pilate to come into the same city. He said that they missed their day, their time of what? Visitation. And that reminds me, we operate in time and season. May we never miss our time of visitation. May you not miss your season and your time. You know, sometimes in life, people come into their season, but the worst tragedy in life is to come into your season and you are not aware. That was what happened to Jerusalem. And he wept because they didn't know their time of visitation. Jesus already saw what was going to happen to Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. Why did he weep? Because he saw that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed by the Romans. He said it. He said that they will surround it. Because even when in AD 70, when the Romans came to take Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was a fortified city, they couldn't enter. I forgot the name of the general that carried out the conquest. They had to lay siege around it. No man could enter Jerusalem or come out of Jerusalem until hunger wired them to a point that they had to open the door. And they took it. You see, when they destroyed it, they took it stone by stone, bit by bit, and packed it away, cleared the place. Praise the Lord. And Jerusalem, the second temple was destroyed in AD 70, and the Jews were scattered. From that time, they only returned in 1948. Over 2,000 years of what? Of destruction. He knew, he wept. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. They didn't have knowledge of their time and season. If they had embraced the Prince of Peace, maybe Jerusalem wouldn't have been destroyed. Maybe today we won't be arguing whether Israel belongs to a place and the Palestinians are fighting over their land. Because history and Bible makes it clear that they are the rightful owners of the place. But for 2,000 and something years, they were out of their homes, thrown away into strange lands. Because they missed the time of visitation. Sometimes we're in the presence of God. We hear the word of God. And our hearts are hardened. And sometimes, because our hearts are hardened, we miss our time of visitation. And the danger in rejecting God, that when your time of visitation comes and you miss it, it might take you a long while to come back to that season. That was what happened to Israel. They missed their time of visitation. It took them over 2,000 years to come back to their land. May that not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And finally, I know I've said this at the beginning. He came as the Passover lamb. Passover lamb. He came as the Passover lamb. I've thought about how they sacrificed the lamb, right? For the feast of Passover. And as I said, his coming to Jerusalem was intentional. It was deliberate. It was already, you know, discussed in heaven. Praise the Lord. Even before he came. Because he was to come as a lamb, the sacrificial lamb, to deliver mankind. And I'm going to read a long passage to round up. Very long one. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 9. I'm going to read from 1 to 27. I want to give us an insight. You need to tie some of these things together. Hebrews 9 said, then verily the first covenant, which was the sacrifice of the lamb, right, had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary of Moses, the first tabernacle that was made. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice, that could not make him that did the sacrifice perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divine washing and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of reformation. Praise the Lord. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Praise the Lord. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of the bulls and of goats and the ashes of an hive sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that we are under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength after all, while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than this. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enter into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Praise the Lord. And is appointed unto men to die. But after this, to once die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord. So he entered Jerusalem during the feast of Passover to offer himself as once and for all what? Sacrifice for the redemption of sin. You know, the Jews, as we talk now, are celebrating the Passover. They will prepare the unleavened bread, kill their lamb, and everything. Christ came to do it once and for all. Praise the Lord. He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of what? Of sin. Somebody has paid the ultimate price, that his blood will wash away our sins. And the question is, in this Holy Week, the Holy Convocation, have we really prepared to yield ourselves to Jesus Christ, that his blood will purify us, that we'll be able to appear before God blameless? Because in him we have an advocate, in him we have an intercessor that is pleading for us. But the question is, will you and I accept the sacrifice that was made at Calvary? Praise the Lord. So the Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, ushers in the week of the Passion of Christ and reminds us of our King, our Savior, the Prince of Peace, who made the ultimate sacrifice to redeem us. You know, this week, several things will happen. Even as they ushered him in as a king, as a savior, you know, they were expecting somebody that would come physically to destroy the Romans. You can imagine their disappointment when they saw that he didn't come like that. That was why this day, 2,000 and something years, they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Few days after, in anger, in total rejection, frustration, they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Because that's why the king that will come to deliver them. But you know that he's the King of Kings. And the way to deliver mankind was to go to the cross. By Friday, well, it's going to be Good Friday. Praise the Lord. By Sunday, it's going to be Easter Sunday. We will celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Savior. But the question I want to ask each and every one of us is, are you saved? Let us bow down our heads.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muriokola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.